Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James. It is Wednesday, my boys, and this episode is a little bit delayed, but when an unexpected medical situation occurs and you don't feel good, you just don't want a podcast. But I'm feeling better. Got some antibiotics and I'm on the mend. And this episode is going to be a few days late again. Another solo dolo episode. I was advertising here, talking about big picture, why I think excursions are really important for AEW's continued success in international markets, especially using their relationships with CMLL, Stardom, and New Japan Pro Wrestling. And why I think excursions in general, when they're done correctly, are actually really good for helping the overall picture of the industry. But first, let's get into some housekeeping things. Number one, tomorrow, Thursday, the 9th of May, the main show, we're doing the first ever Junkyard Media Group Behind the Junkyard at Fantasy AEW Draft. Essentially, we're taking the AEW roster and we're going to basically split the roster 15 picks apiece. Tune in for that. That's going to be a lot of fun, I think, for me and K-Dog to try and create the best roster between AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision. That's tomorrow. Also, make sure to check all of the links in the bio. We are a WWE shop affiliate. So if you do watch WWE, and I think we paint our audience probably more towards the AEW fan base, but I know there are people that watch both, and I know that there are people that, you know, support WWE. If you are a WWE fan, please, please, please use our link in the description when buying your merchandise. We do make a little bit of a commission off every purchase using our affiliate link, but that would be such a big help for the podcast as well. Check out junkyardmediagroup.com. Join the Discord. Follow us on our social media pages. As we get to 500 subscribers, more and more slowly we're getting to that point. 500 followers, I mean, on X. Once we get to that number, there's going to be a giveaway for Discord
somewhat in the Discord. That's coming up. But we want to get people, follow. We got to get people to follow the platform.
And join
Follow us on social media. And let's talk some wrestling. The Discord's really fun.
Even just the small number of people that we have in the Discord. The conversations are entertaining, interesting. There is a variety of opinions in the Discord on wrestling, and that's what's really fun about pro wrestling is that everybody has their opinions, and I think it's cool to see the differing opinions, and it can get a little heated sometimes when people go back and forth, but hey, that's the fun part about entertainment is being able to discuss and share your views and your opinions, and wrestling is just another example of that. So I can't wait to build the Discord into a bigger community, have better conversations, more opinions, more discussion, but we need y'all to join the Discord. The link to the Discord is at junkyardmediagroup.com. The link to our social media pages, also junkyardmediagroup.com. Also, when you go to junkyardmediagroup.com, the top menu bar, if you click the shop button, it'll direct you to the merch site for Beyond the Junkyard merch. There's not much on there now, but as we grow the merchandise shop, just be able to support the podcast would be great for us. But let's get into what I want to talk about. I think that's enough housekeeping for now. Let's get into the main point. And so we look at a couple examples of excursions. When they go wrong, they go really wrong, and they benefit neither the wrestler, the promotion that is taking in the wrestler, or the promotion that sent the wrestler. And I think, for example, when Kazuchika Okada, I think it was Kazuchika Okada, was sent on excursion to TNA. And TNA presented Okada in absolutely the worst way possible. It didn't get Okada over in TNA. And it really made relationships with TNA and New Japan Pro Wrestling pretty bad, because New Japan felt the same way, that Okada was looked to be like not as strong as they wanted him to be. He wasn't presented well. But then you look at occasions like with Jack Perry. Jack Perry, I don't know if people, like, just because he's been gone for so long, like, seem to forget. Jack Perry didn't turn heel the night him and CM Punk fought at All In backstage in Wembley. Jack Perry was already a heel. He was the heel the night of that match, on his pre-show match with Hook. He was the heel. The problem with Jack Perry was he was a heel with no character. He was just a heel. He literally had no entrance music, or very generic entrance music. It was like an old classical song, if I remember correctly. He had no character, no gimmick. And you could just kind of tell that they were forcing a heel swap on Jack Perry just for the, you know, just because. And so now, what happened. He gets suspended, all that's, you know, real life stuff. But they decide, let's send Jack Perry on excursion. Let's make it, you know, get him back into ring shape without bringing him back and having to use him on AEW television. Let's put Jack Perry in New Japan. What's so great about Rocky Romero being a big part in AEW and a big part of New Japan is that, from what I understand, Rocky Romero was a big piece of getting Jack Perry into New Japan. So thank you, Rocky Romero. And so you send Jack Perry here, and you create this scapegoat gimmick. You have Jack Perry rip up his AEW contract. You have him be this big heel who's beating up the big, you know, the brightest and upcoming stars in New Japan, Shota Umino and others. Have him join, what was the faction called? House of Terror or something like that. I'm not as familiar with New Japan as a lot of AEW fans are.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I am very on and off when it comes to watching New Japan product. I like the New Japan product. I just don't watch it as much as I do like Ring of Honor and AEW and some of the other stuff in the States. So Jack Perry goes to New Japan. He is presented to be the scapegoat of the whole situation. And we all know what he's talking about when he presents this scapegoat gimmick. Everybody knows what's going on. When Jack Perry made his quote-unquote New Japan debut, I think it was in San Jose, and he ripped up the AEW contract and he pulled the scapegoat thing out, I personally didn't know if Jack Perry was even part of AEW anymore. I was like, did he leave and go to New Japan full time? It was really well done. Really well done. And he has his little run in New Japan and does what he has to do there. And then because New Japan and AEW have such a really good business relationship, a really good working relationship, there was a smooth transition to end Jack Perry's run in New Japan and bring him back into AEW. And it was just really well done. And it allowed Jack Perry to, one, work on being a heel, because I think he was, at the point in time before his suspension, he was really good as a face. The Jungle Boy character was really over. He was really good as just like the underdog baby face. But if you wanted to present him as a heel, he lacked a little bit of charisma, I felt. And the New Japan style helps build a lot of really good characters, more so than a lot of other styles, because in New Japan, they're not going to pop for the cheap heat especially as the heel. You know, the cheap heat that we get in America where they, like, make fun of the city you're in and stuff like that, that doesn't happen in New Japan, right? So if you can get over with the New Japan audience as a heel. And what I mean by get over as a heel, it means to get the crowd to hate you. If you can really get the crowd to hate you as a heel in Japan, you'll be really good at getting the crowd to hate you in the States. And so Jack Perry goes to Japan in that Japanese style, and he works really well in that style, builds his character, builds the heelish tendencies that he needs, and then they bring him back and they pair him with a group of people that play really good heels. The Young Bucks are really good as a heel. Okada plays a heel really well. Okada can play a babyface well, but he plays a heel even better, if not, you know, way better than he does a babyface. And so you get Okada, you put the Young Bucks, you put Jack Perry together, and now you build a character for Jack Perry, a gimmick for Jack Perry, a storyline for Jack Perry that all makes sense. And then now he can use the Young Bucks theme until you create a new theme for him that fits the character. And voila, you have totally transitioned Jack Perry to someone who, when he was a heel prior to his suspension and the scapegoat gimmick, I really didn't like his heel run. When he just came out to, like, the classical music and was just smug and didn't really have a character, didn't really have a gimmick. And now he comes out and he spits some of the best promos and the game with some of the best heels in the game. He is a really good heel. And Jack Perry's trajectory is all up when, before his suspension, it was just kind of like he was right in the middle. I think outside of MJF, now in the hierarchy of the so-called four pillars, being Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, MJF, Jack Perry, it goes MJF, Jack Perry, Darby, Sammy, where before I didn't know if Jack Perry even belonged on the list of the four pillars. I think he belongs there now. I think he's done really well, and it's really because of the excursion, the time away from the AEW audience, allowed him, when he came back, to one, grow his craft and be better, and created that sense of longing for him to return. And that's what was really needed for Jack Perry. It's what's needed for a lot of characters. Chris Jericho, for example. No one wants him in AEW right now. If he just disappeared for some time, I'm not saying Jericho needs to go on excursion. Maybe if he just disappeared from, like, being a wrestler for some time, maybe do some backstage stuff, create that sense of longing of Chris Jericho again, maybe he would have a better representation in the current modern-day product. I don't know. But anyways, with that being said, I want to talk about three different wrestlers that I think AEW needs to use their relationships with either CMLL or New Japan or Stardom to send a couple young guys through the excursion process, and or young guys or gals through the excursion process, so that they can build their craft and create that sense of longing, build a character maybe, build that charisma that's needed, especially in the Japanese style, that I think would be really good for some of these wrestlers. The first one's Nick Wayne.
Be honest. AEW did a terrible job
bringing Nick Wayne into the business.
Oh, here's this, you know, Strickland
and Darby Allin, I think,
were the ones that brought him in, gave him his contract, and then gave him a team
that the day he turns 18, he's coming into AEW. And so they bring him in, and he's his young prodigy, but they do a very terrible job at promoting him, giving him a character. He's just, he's Buddy Wayne's son. And then they put him in the gimmick with Christian Cage, and that was good, but like Nick Wayne, you could just tell he wasn't TV ready. And I don't know if he isn't really 100% TV ready. What is a better way to become TV ready than to go to New Japan? I think New Japan may be better than the WWE at getting these young guys to be TV ready. Don't tell me Will Ospreay comes in, Jay White comes in, Kazuchika Okada comes in, and they all can work the hard cam just fine. There's no necessity, you know. I think New Japan creates just as good TV-ready wrestlers in WWE's NXT product or any of that. And so, I don't know if Nick Wayne came in TV-ready. I think he's a skilled athlete. He has the prodigy. His father was a wrestler. But, like, just because your father was a wrestler doesn't mean you're going to be a really good wrestler. There's still some work that goes into it. And I just think if he went to New Japan, and especially if they want him to be a heel and, like, really worked the gimmick, worked with some of the Young Lions, worked his way up a card for 6 months, and then just magically out of nowhere showed up at a pay-per-view or whatever at AEW months down the line, separate from Christian Cage, with his own character and gimmick and a story, just like Jungle Boy Jack Perry. The scapegoat Jack Perry now.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I think Nick Wayne could really benefit from a time in New Japan where maybe the people like myself who casually, I guess is the best, I hate to use that word, watch New Japan wrestling, who watch it every now and again, catch the, you know, they might catch some of the highlights, but maybe aren't as hardcore of a fan as of New Japan as they are with, say, AEW. Maybe they won't remember, you know, they'll forget about Nick Wayne for a minute and be like, where's Nick Wayne? Where he's still on the roster. When's he coming back? And then you can build his return back to the company, build a character around him, give him something more than just he's the son of Buddy Wayne. And then, you know, I really think Nick Wayne, if you want to turn him heel, would be a really good member eventually for the House of Black. But you can't just throw him in the House of Black because he's awkward there right now. So if you created a character where he goes to New Japan through this excursion and then just, like, becomes this demented heel character who then gets recruited by the House of Black in some way, shape, or form. I don't know. You can use something that of that, like, off-screen in New Japan, you know, let him build his ring readiness with some of the top guys in the world of wrestling, and then let him come back in 6 to 8 months, and I think Nick Wayne would be so much more beneficial than if we just leave him in this Christian Cage gimmick. I don't know if this does anything to benefit Nick Wayne long term. Him just being a lackey for Christian. Don't get me wrong, I love Christian as the heel, but I'm not a big fan of Killswitch or Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne just kind of being his lackeys. I need something to go with this process. Nothing's going on with it, and I think pulling Nick Wayne from the product, sending him to New Japan, and then letting him create his own gimmick, either if it, as a face or as a heel, and then coming back to AEW in, say, 8 months, and I think he would be much more set off than where he is right now. The next one's kind of in the same boat, and that's Daniel Garcia. And I think he's really got the potential to be one of the top guys in AEW. It's just, there's really nothing for Daniel Garcia right now because he's not seen as world championship contender. And it's very hard for now me to see, well, I don't want to see Copeland versus Garcia again. And I want to see him in some big feud. What a good way. Daniel Garcia kind of reminds me of a younger Eddie Kingston. And Eddie Kingston thrived in New Japan when he went over to New Japan. Eddie Kingston is so over in the New Japan style. And Daniel Garcia reminds me of just kind of the guy that wants to go out there and beat the shit out of you. Let him wrestle some of these New Japan guys. Learn the business a little bit. Get more camera ready, TV ready. Work a couple pay-per-views, wrestle someone like a Tanahashi or a Takahashi or a Shota Umino. Get them, you know, build a character, build a gimmick. Bring them back in 6 to 8 months. And I think because I love Danny Garcia. I think he's one of my favorites. But he's only over right now because of that dance. And let's just throw that out. As much as it was, you know, funny, it's kind of old now. Let's throw it out. Send Daniel over to New Japan. Then 6 to 8 months. Or even if we want to say, well, yeah, let's go. Let's let him have a year-long excursion. Come back at Double or Nothing 2025. Be the Joker in the Casino Battle Royal, come out, win the Casino Battle Royal. Now he's in this contendership for the world title. By that time, Ospreay or someone's probably going to be champion, and then you have this really good feud. I think that would kind of be the direction I would go with Danny. But it takes a year-long New Japan excursion or CMLL excursion, or you can send him to different places. He can show up, you know, in different places, but let him go to these other sites. And what does this do to benefit AEW? AEW's talent is on another country's promotion. The thing Mercedes Moné told me that, like, I think AEW's focus is not on building the United States market as much as they are of building a global wrestling industry. Right? The global revolution. And so you use Danny and Nick Wayne, send them into New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now there's some name recognition of, oh, this guy is on AEW. Let's watch AEW. Now Japan has a bigger AEW audience. Now, you know, CMLL, Mexico, all of the people that watch, bigger audience. There's more recognition for some of these guys. So when they come back to AEW, they're favorites in Japan, or their favorites in Mexico, or their favorites in England, or whatever, you know? Because for the most part, Danny Garcia is known by the AEW fans in the States and in UK, but maybe not so much in Japan. This helps Danny get better as a wrestler. It helps now then spread his name to the Japanese market, which can make him a big fan in Japan. And then he comes back to the States, and now you have this Japanese base that loves Daniel Garcia, and in turn turns into watches AEW and falls in love with AEW. That's my big part. And then the last one, this episode, it wasn't meant to be super long. I don't have a big rant or anything today. Just kind of my thoughts here. The last person that I would want to send to excursion and use the newly formed relationship with Stardom, Anna Jay. I think she's just kind of hit a lull in AEW. She's well loved in AEW. I think there's just nowhere on the card for her. She's too good to be TBS champion. Meaning, if she's TBS champion, the people that she's going to fight aren't going to progress her up the card. That was my biggest problem when Jade Cargill was TBS champion, was she held the belt for so long, it felt like the belt meant nothing because you knew she was going to win every time she wrestled. Anna Jay kind of feels the same way, where she seems like she's on the trajectory to win a championship, but there's just, like, the main championship picture is full. Right, Mariah May's there, Toni Storm, Deonna Purrazzo, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, whenever they return, are probably going to fill there. And Anna Jay's just like on the fringe, where I don't think there's a place for her in the main card of women's wrestling in AEW right yet. And she's definitely got the potential to be there, but I don't know if she's ready to be there. You know how you can prove to us that she's ready to be there? Send her to Stardom. Let her fight some of the best women's wrestlers in the fucking world. Like, not just in WWE, or in the States, or in Japan, in the fucking world. You know, the Stardom girls fucking rock. I saw a lot of them for the first time WrestleMania weekend at, like, Ring of Honor and the AEW shows that they were on, and they fucking are awesome, dude. I love Stardom's division. The women there are awesome. Azumi, Mina Shirakawa, Sari, a lot of these other women, Tam Nakano, they're just wonderful. I love the women's movement in Stardom, and the fact I believe Stardom is going to play a part in Forbidden Door this year, which is going to be awesome. That I think it's Stardom, New Japan and AEW now for Forbidden Door. So we'll see more of that come along, I think, here as the future storylines progress. But I think Anna Jay would do really well if she came in and wreaked havoc of the Stardom division, said, hey, I come from AEW and I'm going to beat all of you guys. You say you're the best in the world? Well, I'm going to beat all of you. Come in, beat the ever-living shit out of all the New Japan, the Stardom girls, and wins the Stardom world title, a women's title there, the main title of Stardom, holds it for a while, and then boom, maybe she loses. I would love to see like Anna Jay have a match at Forbidden Door with Stephanie Vaquer. I think she's the world champion for Stardom, the top champion in Stardom. That would be a really good match, I think. And maybe they can build something there. But man, Stardom is so good, and it would do so much to help Anna Jay, who is only getting better with the more time she gets in the ring, but she's still, you know, not.
I love her to death.
She's one of my favorites in the division.
She's one of my favorites in the division.
She's not the best wrestler. She's not the best wrestler. Bringing her to Stardom will only make her better. And she's getting better. From when she started
a couple years ago, when she first,
literally when Anna Jay got signed, I think to AEW, she had only wrestled, I think, two matches in her entire career. And so now she comes in and she's wrestling so much better than she did when she began. And I think bringing her to Stardom, wrestling some of those girls, building that relationship in Japan would be so beneficial to Anna Jay. And then she again comes back after the excursion, and then you can put her in the main picture at that point, rebuild a character for her, rebuild a package for her, because it seemed like Anna Jay, honestly, had big plans for her in Dark Order. And then Brody Lee, you know, tragically passes away, and it seemed like she just, from that point on, just got thrown from stable to stable to stable to stable, and she was just kind of, like, overlooked in all of the stables. She was just kind of like the sex appeal. I think if they really built a character for her, like they're doing with Toni Storm and Mariah May and all of these main card girls, they send her to Japan, let her build a character for herself in Japan, come back in 6, 8, 10, 12 months to AEW when maybe the really colluded, stacked main event picture. Because at some point, you know, Mercedes is going to jump in there and Willow's going to jump in there. And maybe at some point we can kind of create a space for Anna Jay to really grow in the industry, in the picture here. You can present her as a Stardom world champion, and she's back, and re-debut her. I think it would be really good for Anna Jay to go to Stardom. But those are three. I'm sure there's more that it could benefit, but those were the first three that came to mind when I was like, I want to talk about this because Jack Perry, his excursion did so much to grow his career and the trajectory of his career. Like, who else would an excursion benefit if they do it correctly? Like, and which three would benefit New Japan or Stardom or whoever and AEW in the long run and the wrestler in the long run? And my answer is these three. These were the first three that came to my mind. But let me know in the comments, guys. Who do you think maybe needs an excursion? Do you think the excursion system works? To me, it's like when a football, in America we call it soccer, but a football club send a player from their training academy on loan to a smaller team who needs a star player, a young star player. That's to me what the excursion system could be, where they split the financial burden of the person and they're benefiting another company or another club for the ultimate benefit of helping the team who, or the company who originally sent them to this other club, just to develop the character, the player, or the wrestler. I kind of look at it like that. I think it would be a really good thing for some of the young people. The alternative is, has always been mentioned, like you should have a performance center, and that's just a big expense for AEW. I think if we use the excursion system instead of a performance center to grow some of these younger talents, it would be really well done. And so maybe they're on a 3 or 4 month loan excursion to CMLL, and then they're on a 4 month excursion with New Japan or Stardom, and then they come back. I think it would really benefit some of the younger talent to wrestle outside of AEW and then come back in 6 to 8 months with a character and a gimmick and a reason to be back in AEW, a reason for the people, the fans of AEW to care. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Does the excursion system work in your mind? Who should go on excursion in AEW or even WWE? If you think it works, should WWE implement it? Let me guys know. Remember, junkyardmediagroup.com. Join the Discord. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on X. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Let's build this community, guys. Support the podcast. Even if you just share the video or the audio format of the episode to a Discord you're already in or your social media, if you just get the word out there, subscribe, share, tell your friends and family if they like wrestling, hey, here's this cool wrestling podcast. And let's change the world. Let's build a community of wrestling fans that love wrestling, can have a diverse opinion without really criticizing or chastising other people. And yeah, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the live stream, 9 p.m. Thursday the 9th of May for the AEW draft that me and K-Dog are doing. And until then, guys, I will talk to you later.